Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello, and welcome to an adventure in history. We're so happy you joined us once again, especially for tonight's topic.
And these are both two-timers.
Blue zones with two not very blue folks that we are joining, that are joining us tonight.
Hi, I'm Constance Wisenen.
And Mike Brocious.
And you've both been here before, so that's why I called you two-timers.
Yeah, two-timers.
Thank
not,
you.
Not old-timers.
I don't think we've not had you here three
yes.
times, have we?
Oh.
Just this is the second. All right, yeah. That's what I thought. All right, so we got a big show because Blue
do.
Zones, you're going to be, you've heard a lot about them already, yep. and now you're going to hear a lot more about
And I had
them.
To remind Mac, too, that I made Mike stop talking about Blue Zones
yeah.
the last time because yeah. I said it should be an entire episode.
That's right. And Mike was just here like 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago.
Yep, that so sounds right.
Yeah. yeah. All right, so let's get right to it. You got a word?
I got a word. It's a noun. Scambler.
Scambler.
Yep.
And that's a noun. I think that is the person who deals in a casino.
Any guesses?
Once upon a time.
Scambler. It's Scottish.
Oh, that changes everything.
Oh, it does. No, it doesn't. I know. It's an uninvited guest who appears only at mealtimes.
Oh, I
a
like that.
Scambler.
Scambler.
Yep.
Ah.
So you can refer to your children or
that's right.
neighbors
your teenagers.
Partners. Yes.
Your teenagers that only come out of the bedroom when it's mealtime.
Scambler. You scambler.
All right. So since this, we got a big show, let's get right to it. The big history highlights. So I did want to quiz you all this one. What year? Guess what year this was. The first motorcycle, this is July 29th, the first motorcycle race happens in Manhattan Beach, New York, of all places. What year? First motorcycle race.
1849.
1849? Are you nuts?
Yes.
I would say 1895.
Wow. Constance?
No,
no guess. Okay. I'm kind of stunned because I would have guessed like, 1915 or something. 1899.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Can't stump us, Mac.
Well, why did you? 1840 something. There's not even there's bicycles.
But
there's not even motorcycles.
But they're always, yet. I mean, you always right. pick ones that would stun us. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. I should just pick a one that's like the obvious.
Normal,
all right.
Yeah.
So 1588, the Spanish Armada is defeated. 1609, Samuel de Champlain, I like saying his name, shoots and kills two Iroquois chiefs at Ticonderoga, New York, setting the stage for French Iroquois conflicts for the next 150 years. Way to go, Champlain.
Right.
You know,
and just 150 years.
Yeah. Then everything was
and
better.
Counting. Yes.
Well, the French and
okay.
Iroquois
oh, okay.
interactions. So, yes, I'm sure the French and the Iroquois are getting along now. Mm-hmm. Okay. 1907. This was almost going to be my history highlight of the day. I had three contenders today. 1907, Sir Robert Baden-Powell forms the Boy Scouts in England.
Ooh.
And that's worthy of a whole show at some point, just because it's kind of an interesting origin story. This is not the Boy Scouts of America. It's the Boy Scouts in England.
Okay.
All right. 1938, Olympic National Park is established in Washington State. It's the longest undeveloped coastline in the United States.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I do too. 1938, though. I never would have guessed that. 1957, Jack Parr's The Tonight Show premieres on NBC. 1958, this was almost going to be, because you know I love the space stuff. 1958, NASA is created.
Oh, okay.
Way to go, NASA. Yeah. I like
yeah.
NASA.
Yeah.
Okay. 1967, The Doors score their first number one hit with Light My Fire. Yeah. Anybody want to sing?
No.
Okay. 1981, Prince Charles marries Lady Diana. Do we care? Did
yes,
we care?
Yes, of course. Oh, we care about her.
Well, yes. Oh, ouch. Ouch. Sorry, British listeners.
I'm pretty sure they might agree.
I don't know if I was just yeah. too young. I didn't care, 1981. All right, 1987, Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream and Jerry Garcia agree on new flavor, Cherry Garcia.
Ooh.
Cherry ice cream with cherries and fudge flakes. 1987, do we think that's early or late?
87. Well, for I don't know.
Yeah. You think it's early? Late. Okay. Right. Yeah, I kind of felt like it was late, too.
Now, how do you feel about that, Mac? You didn't care about Lady Di, but how about Cherry Garcia? Yeah.
You know, I don't care for Cherry Garcia, but I do like Ben and Jerry's.
Okay.
Both as a company, because I lived in Vermont for 2 years.
Oh,
so
there you go.
Both as a company, because they were very kind to a lot of nonprofits, including mine. And the factory in Vermont was very, very cool. And my neighbor actually worked for them. And employees had to be able to eat one of the small containers of ice cream. That was like part of the job application. And then every employee got to take like 3 home every day. So our neighbor was always like, hey, you want a couple of quarts of ice cream? Because
quality just... control or no lactose intolerance?
He was in quality control.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. There we go.
But not always the good things, but definitely had, I think, of all these things, the biggest impact on history. 1921, Adolf Hitler becomes the leader of the Nazi Party. Mm. And I don't subscribe to like one great man in history, that kind of thing. But obviously...
Oh, for sure.
Hitler's not around. It's a very different world. Yeah. So that's my history of Hollywood today. So I don't know how we make that into a segue for Blue Zones and something wonderful and positive.
We don't, but we did invite two wonderful and positive people into our room and our space today, and they are working to change our space.
That would not have ever become the head of the Nazi Party.
They would not.
That's going to be the only time you're ever introduced that way, I think.
Terrible, Mac.
I really should plan on my history highlights having a better segue. It would be a smoother transition than this has become.
It would. But let's just jump right into it. So both Mike and Constance have been sharing with the community a lot about the Blue Zones in the past few months and weeks. And we wanted to just give them another outlet to share, because this is kind of an exciting concept for our community. And this is just the first step, right?
It sure is. We just, this very week, on July 15th, we're recording this show a couple of weeks early, had the Blue Zones team here on the ground in Astoria, visiting with a lot of you folks, doing focus groups, doing some leadership training, and we had an open house for the entire community to hear about what the Blue Zones is. So I'll turn it over to Mike to tell you what it is.
Yeah, let's start. I mean, what is a Blue Zone?
Well, Blue Zones was started by Dan Buettner, who is a National Geographic explorer, and his goal was to kind of go out and find communities where people had lived longer, healthier than the average. And so he did a bunch of data research and found 5 communities around the world that kind of met that criteria, that they were living basically into their hundreds. But not only were they living longer, but they were, the key to the Blue Zones is they're living healthier. So it's not just longevity, it's how do we live longer, healthier, especially in that last decade of our lives. And he found those 5 communities, and then he said, what are the commonalities around those? And then really the breakthrough in my mind is that he then said, can we create a Blue Zone in a place that doesn't have one naturally? And that's kind of where we're at today with Astoria, is how, in, you know, they've got 90 communities out there across the U.S. that have already been created. So we want to be the 91st.
The 91st. I like that. But let's back up just a second here, because I'm fascinated by these 5 communities. And I went to a presentation you had a couple of weeks ago at the Astoria High School. And before I went, I did not do any research. I had only chatted with you, Mike, for a little bit about this. But I assumed, like, okay, it's going to be healthier diets and healthier places. So it's going to be some, you know, an island in Japan, which it is. One of them is Okinawa. I thought there's going to be an island in Greece, and there is. And I thought that there would be 3 other similar communities. But there's one that was in the United States that was surprising. Do either one of you want to talk about that a little bit? And I know you're not the experts, but you have dived into this deeply.
Yeah, so it's the Seventh-day Adventist community in Loma Linda, California. And I think it'd be worth, you know, talking about the 4 things that they found that were key. One was eating healthy food. And I think that when people think about getting healthier, that's the first thing they think about, because sometimes it's the hardest for us to change. The other is, or then people will think about fitness. And it isn't about fitness. It's about building movement into your everyday life. It is nothing wrong with going to the gym, nothing wrong with lifting weights, but movement, walking to work, walking with friends, walking down to have a glass of wine in the afternoon. And then the third thing was that they had a sense of purpose in their lives, that they they had something that they were living for, whether it was a grandmother who was living to educate her grandchildren and teach them cultural things, or whether it was someone who was starting to turn their community into a blue zone. They had something with purpose. And now the fourth one's I'm losing it, Mike.
There were nine things, weren't there, that they kind of identified?
Yeah, but there were four key things that...
Yeah, the fourth one is social interaction.
Yeah, social interaction.
Which was, you know, to be honest, I've told Constance this in my mind. The first two, you know, eating and exercise were natural, and purpose was kind of, I would have probably got that one, but I would have honestly not thought of the importance of social. And if you look at all four of them, that's maybe the most important one that they found that was a little bit of a surprise to me.
And maybe the easiest and no-cost one to implement, because it's really just a matter of people gathering and us removing barriers that make it hard for them to gather, whether it's someone who's disabled who can't get out of their home, or someone who's elderly and doesn't drive a car, or young mothers who are so busy with children and work that they don't have a time to get away and just be around someone who speaks an adult language.
So where are we in the process right now?
So we're in the process right now is that we are doing an assessment phase. So we funded an assessment phase with Blue Zones, and Constance alluded to the fact that they were just here doing some community interaction. So they're going to spend about 2 to 3 months doing this assessment based on some of their interviews, what they learned, what they saw, what they heard. And then from there, the plan is that in the middle of September, they're going to come back and do a reach out back to the community saying, here's what we learned, here's what we saw, here's what we recommend moving forward. And then it'll be up to the community to make a decision on how much of this do we want to do. Do we want to do full Blue Zone? Do we want to parse it out? And those types of things. Those will be the next step. So middle of September, be aware that we're going to be seeing some more and hearing some more about another meeting in the community. So please tell your friends and stuff that when that comes about.
Because from the community, what's the ask? What's that next ask? Other than the total buy-in, right? But you're probably looking for some leaders maybe as well mm-hmm. to spearhead some portions of it.
We were extremely gratified to see the number of people who came out for the keynote address and how many of those people came up to us afterwards and said, I want to help. I want to do things. And right now we have a lot more data that we could present to small groups. If your organization would like Mike and I to come in, we can put together a small slideshow and kind of talk about some of the impacts that have occurred in other communities and like-sized communities to ours. So, you know, in this waiting period for the assessment is a really good time to reach out to us and have us come talk to you and tell us the kinds of things that have happened in other communities and what they could expect here. But yes, definitely interested in volunteers, people who want to be engaged, or people. The other thing that I learned Monday night is, or on the 15th, was that there were a lot of people already doing pieces of this. Now, Mike and I felt we were an ideal community for this because already, for example, the Riverwalk is a great example of a nice place for people to gather. But Heritage Square is another opportunity, how we develop that. And then there are a lot of people doing Vital Elders and having and connecting the integrative healthcare community. So many different things already going on that we can just bring together and bring more energy toward.
Yeah, I think that's really the key that I kind of learned too, was that we've got all these disparate groups that are doing wonderful stuff, but they're all working. I shouldn't say all, but there's a lot of silos out there. They're doing what they think is the best thing. There's another group that's doing something. How do we bring this together? And that's part of what Blue Zones has been able to do in these 90 communities that they've been involved in, is get all of these disparate groups together for a common cause and drive that.
So we want us to be the 91st community, but there's 90 others that have done this, and this is not a new idea. I mean, Blue Zones has been around for a while. So is there data to back up, hey, we made this effort in X community and it did this?
Yes, and we have that data. We that's the data that we can share with groups if they're interested to see how that goes.
And I think, Mac, to that question, you know, the thing that surprised me, or one of the many things that surprised me, is the impact they can have in these communities very quickly, whether it's smoking cessation, whether it's health, heart, all of those types of things, diabetes, and, you know, getting people to pledge and really commit to something, which is the key to this thing, is, you know, it can't be just, well, it sounds good, but at the end of the day, nobody really, you know, after like our New Year's resolutions, 30 days later, we all forgot what they were. That's not what's going to work with this.
I think it's important also to note, we know that not everyone in the community is going to change, and that's not necessary, but there have been really startling results with 25 to 35% of the community actually engaging with making change in their personal lives. And, you know, if the person who does the cooking in the household makes a change, everybody in the household gets to make a change. And so it will bleed out into other areas.
I think the other misconception that's out there a little bit is around the diet a little bit. You know, people are like, oh, you have to be vegetarian or vegan or whatever it is. And that's not the case. I mean, but it is about eating healthier food. So if you're a hunter and you're eating elk and you're eating deer and those things, that's a great food to eat. It's extremely, it's wild, obviously. So that's one thing. It's not a processed meat and it's very lean. And just like, you know, Constance alluded to why Astoria is a natural place for this. We have probably the best food in the world out there in that river. I mean, wild salmon has been proven over and over and over again to be probably one of the best, if not the best, healthiest food in the world. And we've got it in abundance, fortunately, outside in the river.
And you're also looking for sustainable solutions, too, when it comes to diet. So sustainable options, that means that could be grown here or brought here easily, too. Something that community partners are already doing and trying to focus on as well. I mean, do you see those organizations already coming to you and being like, yes, this is what we want. This is what we need.
Yes. And a lot of it is removing barriers. We had a speaker who's on the school board at the high school talking about how difficult it's been for their food systems there to use local food because of regulation. And so sometimes we think it's things we have to do. Sometimes it's things we have to stop doing. And so it could be barriers to people getting out of their homes. We live in a hilly place, and if you are not stable on your feet, we need solutions to that. And we need solutions to children being able to walk safely to school. The project that's going on at the high school right now is a perfect example of removing a barrier to children safely biking or walking to school. So it's a lot about that.
Yeah, I mean, the North Coast Food Web, you know, most of us are familiar with that, but that's a prime example, again, of what's already here. So and I make it simple, but how do we put that onto steroids? How do we really grow that part of it and go to the people that maybe really need it but can't afford to do it or aren't aware of it? So that's part of what we are trying to accomplish as well, is how do we make this accessible to everybody? Because I think the assumption is eating healthier is more expensive, hard to do, and we're trying to take out down that barrier, as Constance said.
That is exactly the organization I was thinking of, because it's their number one goal, right? It's local foraged food with producers who live here, work here, and can sustain that if there is a population who will purchase that food, right? Mm-hmm.
Or that can get to that food. I mean, right now, for me to get to it as a resident of Napa, I have to plan to be in town on Thursday afternoon.
Right, yeah.
You know, I would love to see a storefront where I can walk in any time of any day of the week and get the food I want.
All of it, yeah. So what happens after the assessment? Do we end up with a board or a coordinator? What's sort of that next step?
I think we should talk about that a little bit. Right now, we've had a small steering group who have volunteered to be part of this. And it's been nice because it's been age diverse and access to economic parts of the community that are diverse, as well as some of our folks who are in public roles. Certainly that steering group will need to expand. We'll need additional people working in the specific areas that we choose. But I think we'd be remiss to not talk about money.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be free. We were lucky that we were able to reach out to individual donors to fund the assessment. So no public monies have been used. But as we move into it, there will be places where there's going to be some additional costs to work things out. If it's something that requires, say, a street modification, like the modification that's happening at the high school, we're going to have to reach out for money for that. But there are a lot of grantors who are very interested in this. And the reality is that our large employers should see significant reductions in healthcare costs, absenteeism, the cost of the productivity of employees when they're healthier.
Wasn't that one of the stats I remember, because I went to the talk at the high school, and they talked about one of the communities that bought into this was in Minnesota or something, and a few major employers companies said, yeah, we noticed that our healthcare costs did go down, and there's some like reduction in 22% in absenteeism from employees within like a year or two, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of our biggest social problems is depression. And one of the things that the Blue Zones measure is the sense of well-being on the average in your community and how important that is, because people who feel good are more productive and better parents and better participants in community activities. So
yeah, and I think it's that's part of why, you know, Constance and I started talking about this, I don't even know, 9 months ago or something like that, and said, hey, can we do this on our own? And I think it took us about 15 seconds to figure out there was no way in heck we can do this. We didn't have the data. We didn't have the brand. We didn't have anything. And so Blue Zones brings all that. They have a proven record of what they've done, and they have the data to support it, to Mac's point. And that's something that makes this a lot more compelling. It's not like, hey, we think this will work. We know it'll work. It's been done in 90 communities, and they've got the data to support that and drive that.
Yeah, and one other thing that's really important to understand is it will not be someone from outside the community telling us what to do. We will hire from inside the community, and they will just guide them and help them.
Yeah, and that kind of goes along the lines. I assume you're going to get the question, and that's why I think conversations like this and your willingness to go out and talk to organizations or businesses or whoever wants to have you come talk. I think that the knee-jerk reaction for a lot of people is, oh, you're going to tell me I can't smoke. You're going to tell me I can't eat French fries anymore or go to McDonald's. And that's not what this is about. This is about giving options and helping people make good choices, not telling them they have to, government regulation or anything like that. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're absolutely right. And we don't need to have 100% participation. If you want to be the person who wants to be unhealthy, it's your right to do so.
I like
Go
that.
For it.
You tell him.
Why is she looking at me?
Yeah, I think Mac, that's a great point. It's that it's really about bringing the community along and getting their engagement and their involvement, and you know, giving them more choices at the end of the day so that they can make those choices themselves and go, you know what, I can eat healthier and it doesn't cost any more and it's not that much more difficult to do, all those things. And if they choose, they choose, whatever that is. But at least we are giving them more choices than they have today and more knowledge, which is probably just as important as the choices.
So moving forward then, that next position would be sort of an executive director or project manager type of a person. And is that then a one person?
I don't think so. I think probably three.
Okay.
But I don't, you know, that's too far down the road to know for sure. But yeah, we would want someone local who has the energy for it and the skills to manage groups and really just the enthusiasm. Right. Enthusiasm goes a long way.
It does. And I think, you know, there are communities in Oregon that have already done this too. So we should be remiss not to say Klamath Falls has done this, I think, about 7 or 8 years ago, if I remember right. Still going very strong. Roseburg did it 5 or 6 years ago. We've reached out to both of those communities. They've got teams of about 3 to 4 people that are running this, and they're still seeing these dramatic impacts. To your point earlier, Alana, this is not a one and done. This is something that you want to do, and you want to sustain it for many, 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 many years, and hopefully forever.
That's good. So it's not just an implement, and then here you go. Here's the book to follow.
It's not a project. It's not a project. It's a change in the way of life, and a change in how our city officials look at how they make decisions, a change in how public health, how their funds are allocated.
Yeah, and this whole process, you know, will take anywhere from, I think Blue Zones indicate, 3 to 4 years probably to implement. And then after that, it's just a continuing monitoring all the way through to make sure you're continuing on the road.
So because I'm a history guy, of course, and there's a special documentary, the How to Live to be 100 or something like that, Blue Zones on Netflix.
Yep.
How did you two get interested in this? Because the guy did the research like 30 years ago is where it all began. So how did you both hear about it and get interested?
Well, I serve on the Board of Trustees for Columbia Memorial Hospital, and so I attend health conferences, and that's where I first heard about it.
And I read the book. So, and I think it was, we were meeting right after I had just finished reading the book, and we were saying, what more mischief can we get into? And
I think I'm a great believer in synchronicity. And, you know, we were just sitting down to say, like, okay, you know, he serves on the hospital foundation. I serve on the board. What, we both care a lot about our community. What can we do in our community? And of course, Mike's been involved in a lot of other things in the community, with the Liberty, and I've been with the Performing Arts Center. So it was like, what's the biggest, most audacious goal we could think of?
Yeah, and I think the thing that makes this unique for anybody that wants to get engaged is, how many times can you do something that impacts, has a potential to impact the entire community? Usually it's segments of it, whether it's theater or arts or whatever. But this is something that will spill over into basically everybody in the community. There aren't that many opportunities you get in your life that you can actually get engaged in something that's going to impact potentially everybody.
Well, and I think most of us are aware that lifespans are actually decreasing, that our children aren't likely to live as long as us. And so what if we could shift that for our own children and grandchildren? What a difference that would make.
I love it. And this is community health, right? This is population health when
yes.
it comes down to it.
It is.
So it's taking both of your roles at the hospital and into all of those other organizations. Because what organization, kind of like you're saying, is going to say, oh, no, I don't support that. Well, no, they already support it.
Yeah.
This just brings it all together.
And it will also address some of the things that are currently big problems for us, the unhoused, food scarcity issues, the substance disorder, abuse disorder. There's a lot of places it can touch to improve health. And I think it's something that all of us are really behind. And I think I want to emphasize, too, it is not just for the wealthy. It is for everyone. And that's where maybe some of the biggest impacts can be made.
I love it. Well, this is exciting.
So if somebody wants to hear you both give a presentation or talk, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, it's easy to find me. Because you could just Google it and my phone number will come up.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's probably easy to find me as well. But, you know, I guess that's a really good question. We should probably create something.
So reach out to Mac and I, and we'll connect you folks.
Would you please?
Don't worry about it. Yes.
And there is a Blue Zones website out there.
Yeah.
For Astoria.
Oh, for Astoria. There you go.
But I don't think we have our phone numbers on it, so maybe
that's okay. But a contact there.
There is. Yes, that's a great point. They can reach out to that and drop it into the mailbox, and we'll get it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. We're so impressed and proud of what you're doing for our community. Thank you. We're excited to see where this goes and have you back in 6 to 9 months.
Thank you.
So since we have 30 seconds, we want to plug anything else you're involved in?
No. Well, the Liberty Theater, we've got a gala event coming up in September. Please get engaged in that. You're probably seeing some of the things that are going on with the exterior. So we're looking for some funding to help us finish make the theater last the next 100 years as well.
And I guess the hospital expansion is going to be a huge project, and it's going to come at the same time as the Maritime Museum expansion and the Owens Adair. There will be several other projects going on. Just be patient.
Yeah.
Check the Facebook pages. There will be listings of when streets will be closed, because we are really making a better community here.
We are. And that's one of the things about Blue Zones is people live stress-free lives. So
absolutely.
Let the stress go with the traffic.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.